Well, good morning, good morning. It's great to be in the house with you this morning. If I haven't had the chance to meet you, my name is Joe Richard. I have the honor and privilege of serving on staff here as the student director. And before we dive in today, I've got to tell you, our middle schoolers and high schoolers are some of the greatest students in the world. Absolutely. A couple weeks ago, we took 70 high schoolers to Breckenridge, Colorado, which is enough to give some people a panic attack, but because of who our students are, it was an absolute blast, and we saw God do some incredible things, not only in their lives individually, but also the life of our ministry collectively that we were so and are so, so grateful for. We talked a lot about identity and knowing how to be strong, wise, and free to be who God has called them to be. And it's a lot of what we'll also be talking about at United with middle schoolers. So if you have an incoming 6th, 7th, or 8th grader, I'm telling you right now, you want them to be at United. They want to be at United. Their friends want to be at United if they don't even know it yet. I digress. I do not look exactly like the person that's typically up here, although I do look very similar. If you recognize the last name Richard, that's because Pastor Mac Richard, who's normally the one up here, is actually my dad, so I'm just the more refined, more attractive, younger, stronger one out of the two of us. Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But I'm incredibly, incredibly honored to be on stage talking with you this morning. And like I said, I do a lot with our student ministry. I do a lot with our middle schoolers and high schoolers. It is so much fun to get to shepherd them and show them how much God loves them and who God has created them to be. And it is never boring with them. I mean, if you're looking for some excitement in your life, hang out with 11 to 18-year-olds for a little while, and you'll be ready for a breath after. Which is interesting because in my own life right now, it's not exactly like I'm lacking for things to do or I'm just kind of in this stalemate in life because just 10 weeks ago, I actually got married. Crazy. Yeah. Insane. To the single greatest person God has ever created. I will debate you with that theologically if you want, but just trust me, I'm right. Her name is Abigail Richard, and she is an incredible blessing. What they don't tell you, she's absolutely worth a round of applause. What they don't tell you, though, is that marriage changes a person. I didn't know that going in. They don't give you a heads up or a manual, but marriage changes you. You know, we're still kind of getting used to each other's morning and night routines, trying not to bump each other, walking through the house. Like, we're just still kind of getting used to everything. But also, I care about things on such a deep level that I have never cared about in my life. I've never wanted to mow a yard, but the second we got married, I was edging, I was mowing. Those lines are crisp, they are clean, that lawn is, it's getting there. I've never really been the grill guy. I've never been the one that's like, hey, let me start up a fire and see what I can cook you up. Yesterday, I smoked a rack of ribs just because, and by the way, they tasted phenomenal. But also, we've learned kind of together that as we go through our night routine and then get into bed, get all cozy and ready to fall asleep, and then we look up and all the lights are still on because I thought she was going to do it and she thought I was going to do it. And very early on, we got tired of having to get out of bed and go turn all the lights out. And so she, the genius that she is, ordered some stuff for us to rewire the electrical in our house. I've never touched anything electric in my life, but here I was rewiring different switches. And so now we have it to where all we have to do is say, hey, Google, turn the lights off. Whew. Oh, it's perfect. And then if it's been a hard sleep and we just have trouble getting out of bed in the morning, we need a little extra motivation, we can say, hey, Google, turn all the lights on. It's unbelievable. Technology is incredible. If I come home after a long day and I'm just emotionally exhausted and it's just quiet in the house, I don't do well with quiet. So I can say, hey, Google, play my favorite song. Okay, hey, Google, stop. You get the point. But it is remarkable what technology can do now. And whether or not you have a Google or an Alexa where you say, hey, Alexa, who won the World Series in 1927? And at the blink of an eye, you have the information. Or you have Siri and you can just pick up your phone and without even touching a button, you can say, hey, Siri, call Dad. Technology is unreal. I still lose my mind over it. It's become such commonplace to just be able to say something and it happens. But I do think that there's maybe a bit of an unforeseen drawback with all of this. Because I think we've gotten so used to it, we've gotten so accustomed to saying something and it happening, that if we're not careful, our relationship with God becomes that way, or at least we expect it to be that way. Now, you don't have to raise your hand and out yourself, but think if any of these prayers or requests sound a little familiar. Hey, God, keep it sunny because I'm going to the game later today. Hey, God, make sure there's enough money in my bank account for that car that I'm going to try to buy. Hey, God, she looks really cute. Can you make her date me? Hey, God, I'm really not loving the job I'm in. Can you go ahead and give me that promotion or send another company to look for me? And all of a sudden, this dynamic between us and God that was designed for relationship and this back and forth where it's us growing close to God and God drawing near to us has become completely transactional. And we expect God to answer us on our own whims. We expect God to fulfill our requests just because we say, hey, God. And we get really upset and down when we don't feel like we're hearing the voice of God or these requests aren't being fulfilled when we want it, how we want it. But the fact is, it's because our expectations and our perspective, our purview has gotten completely skewed. And it's gotten completely backwards to where or from what God intended. Last week, Derek kicked off this series called Voice Recognition, and he introduced this verse in the book of John, chapter 10, 27. That's kind of been the theme verse and is going to be where we're going. John 10, 27 says this. It says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So to take it a little bit out of order, God knows us. If we're going to move on, we've got to stay on common ground today. And that is a fact. God knows you. God knows me. That's the baseline. That's where we start. And because God knows us, it's our job, our responsibility to listen to God. It's our job to listen to God and then to follow what God says. And you might be sitting here thinking, like, Joe, that's great. I want to listen to God. I want to follow God. I want to know what God wants for my life. I want to be able to listen to God. But how can I listen to something that I can't hear? How can I follow instructions that I don't know what they are? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because that's exactly what we're going to unpack today. If you're taking notes, this is going to be how we can hear from God. And to unpack it, to look at it, we're going to be looking at a story in the Old Testament from a guy who was just a boy at the time, just a kid, but who would grow up to be one of the most influential and faithful prophets in the Old Testament. We're talking about a guy named Samuel. And Samuel had a very interesting upbringing, because Samuel literally grew up in the temple. He grew up in the tabernacle, which was called the temple of the Lord. because Samuel's mom wasn't able to have kids. Samuel's mom for a long time was not able to have a son. And so she was begging and pleading with God, saying, God, just please, please, please give me a son. To the point where she said, God, if you just give me a son, I will give him back to you. And if you give me a son, I will give him to the temple where he will grow up and serve you for his whole life. And so that's exactly what happened. Samuel's mom ends up having Samuel and gives him to the temple to serve the prophet at the time, whose name was Eli. And so Samuel, from a very young age, is being raised in the temple, being raised serving God. And that's where we pick up with him in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verse 3. It says this, it says, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. It's interesting. Samuel was sleeping near the ark of God. So the first thing we have to know, the first thing we can acknowledge from Samuel's example is we can hear God when we draw near to God. We can hear God when we get close to God. Now, we don't necessarily have the ark of God to physically be in proximity with that, but we still have ways to get close to God. There are still ways for us to be able to get close to God. And it can look different at different points of the day or different seasons of life. But it can look just like spending time in the Bible and taking time to get to know God through the words that he's given us. It can look like listening to worship music in your car and making sure that you're getting your heart and mind right as you drive to wherever you're going. It can be praying throughout the day and just in open communication with the God that wants to be in open communication with you. It can be just getting in nature and acknowledging how good God is through his creation. Getting close to God can look so many different ways, but the heart behind it all is intention. All of it leads back to, are you trying, and is your heart in the place where you are wanting and trying to get close to God? Because the Bible gives us a promise in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 8. James 4, 8 says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. It's not a foreign feeling to feel far from God. And then we can get overwhelmed and wonder, okay, what do I do next? How do I get close to God? How do I get God back to me? But if we take James 4, 8 at its word, God is ready to get close to us. God is looking to get close to us. It just takes us getting close to him. It just takes us reaching out and saying, God, please get close to me. And then we can hear God when we draw near to him. So Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God, and it continues in verse 4. It says, suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? He got up and ran to Eli, which again was the prophet he was serving at the time. Here I am. Did you call me? Samuel asks. I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. And this next detail is so, so interesting. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. In other words, Samuel was unable himself to recognize the voice of God. Samuel was unable to know what the voice of God sounded like because he hadn't yet heard it. There are some times when I wish I would recognize my dad's voice a little less. But he has different greetings for me based on the tone of the conversation and where it's going to go. If I walk in or I walk into their house and I hear, hey, Joe, I think that's going to be a good conversation. We're in good standing. If I hear, what's up, Hoss? That's going to be a casual kickback. We're going to have a good time. He may say, I'm proud of you. He says it a lot. If I hear, hey, bud, ooh, I done messed up somehow. I don't know what I messed up, but I know that if I hear, hey, bud, I messed up. But I have 27 years of a history of hearing my dad's voice. I have a history and a catalog of knowing and understanding who my dad is. Now, when I was a lot younger, I couldn't always see the heart behind it. When I was a lot younger, I didn't always understand that even the, hey, bud, was looking out for me. But as I've gotten older, as I've seen more, as I've experienced more, I know that every time my dad calls my name, every time I hear my dad's voice, it's out of love. Even and especially in the correction. But Samuel hadn't yet heard God's voice, so he wasn't able to recognize it. So then the next question for us becomes, okay, how do we hear God's voice? How do we discern what is and what is not God's voice? Well, God's voice sounds a lot like what he wrote. The character of God and the heart of God has been exposed and revealed to us through the Word of God and through the Bible. So if you want to know if something you're feeling or hearing lines up with the character of God, you've got to know the Word of God. You've got to take time to sift through and read through and get to know the God that loves you. Get to know His voice through His Word, so that you can recognize it when it comes out in so many other different ways. God's voice sounds a lot like His Word. Samuel didn't have this advantage that we have. But because of that, we have no excuse. It's about being intentional and setting aside time to make sure you're in the Word so that you can discern what is and what is not God's voice, because we live in a world that will try to tell you things are of God when they are not of God. We live in a world that will try to confuse you. The devil himself used Scripture to tempt Jesus. Derek talked about it last week. And Jesus didn't say, that doesn't sound right, but it might be. No, Jesus said, that's not the God I know. That's not the God I love. That's not the God that loves me, because I know His voice. So you got to get in the Word. But then it continues with Samuel in verse 8. It says, so the Lord called a third time because he was not yet recognized. And once more, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. Now we're going to pause right there for a second. Eli realized it was the Lord calling the boy. Samuel was too young. Samuel didn't yet have the world experience or the experience with God to know, but Samuel had someone around him who could speak that discernment into him. Samuel was around someone who could communicate to him what it was that was in God's voice and God's character. I know my own heart. I know my own mind. If I had not had people around me that could tell me God's character, that could tell me God's heart, that were speaking life and speaking God's truth into me, there's no telling where I would be right now. So parents, if you want to set your kids up, if you want to have your kids be in places that life is being spoken into them, that they're being exposed to the character and the heart of God so that they can later on understand God's voice and recognize God's voice, do exactly what Samuel's mom did. It wasn't Samuel that woke up at 5 or 6 years old and said, I want to go to the temple. It was Samuel's mom that put him in the temple. And yes, I'm the student director. I might be a little biased with all of that, but I'm also saying it because I'm a walking testament of it. I am a testament of parents who made sure I was in the church. I am a testament of parents who did not make church an option. And I know my life is so much better for it. I know I'm more at peace. I know who I am more. I know my relationship with God is stronger because my parents made this a priority. And by the way, they didn't just say it was a priority. They made it a priority. Now you might be looking at me and you're thinking, Joe, yeah, your dad's the pastor. Your mom's here every day. You were gonna be here. It's by default. Okay, sure, I'll give you that. I've known my wife, she's 24. I've known her for 24 years. I know her because her parents got her in the church. Her parents made sure she was in the church on Sundays and then in middle school and high school on Wednesdays and serving when she was in middle school and high school. Her family made church a priority. And she'll tell you, and I'll tell you, her life is better because of it. I'll tell you that my life is better because of her parents. I wouldn't be married to her. And we wouldn't be able to understand the importance of having God at the center of our marriage if we hadn't have been built on the foundation. Is that saying that you have to start when you're a kid? Absolutely not. But does it make it a lot easier? Or I'll tell you this. I'm not going to leave it to a question. It's a lot easier to teach a kid than it is to fix an adult. And so wherever you are with that, I'm just letting you know. You want to be in church, you want to be in the Word. Again, I digress. Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, speak, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. The second thing that we can take from Samuel's example is we can hear God when we remove distraction. Notice every time God called out to Samuel was when he was sleeping, when he was at rest, when he was peace, when there was quiet. When was the last time you were surrounded by quiet? When was the last time you were able to take a breath? When was the last time you truly removed a lot of the distractions in your life? And look, it's really easy to say, well, I'm just going to be distracted. I'm going to be overwhelmed. That's the world we live in. Yeah, you're right. That is the world we live in. Heads up, it ain't going to change. But we have the choice. We have the ability. In fact, we have the responsibility to select what our input is, to select how much of the cyclone we let into our minds and our hearts. I have the ability to put my phone on Do Not Disturb. I can choose not to scroll Instagram first thing in the morning. I can choose not to scroll X or Twitter, because that stuff doesn't fill me up. That doesn't help anything. Does it keep me informed? Not really, because who knows what's real? But you have the ability to select what your input is. And in doing so, you have the ability to say, no. I'm not doing any of that. Look at your calendar. When was the last time you had just a blocked off night to keep blocked off? And you can be like, well, someone invited me over. Okay, tell them no. Well, but I didn't have any plans. That's the point. Take time. Now, because of the world we live in, you have to be intentional about it. It has to be a priority, but you can do it. I can do it. Removing distractions is possible. And if we want to hear the voice of God, it's necessary. Because in my experience, God doesn't scream. In my experience, God's not going to fight what you make a priority. He speaks in a whisper, a gentle nudge. And so if everything around us is too loud, we won't hear it. And so we've got to remove distractions and make sure our hearts and our minds are at peace and are quiet in spite of the world we live in. So Samuel went back to bed. Now we're going to jump a little bit before what we've been reading actually to the beginning of the chapter, because this is such an important detail that it says before Samuel was in bed. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. think a lot of times we take a seat, we sit back and we say, okay, God, I'm ready. Show me what you want me to do. But again, Samuel obeyed and served the Lord before he heard the voice. Samuel obeyed and served before getting a revelation or a vision. And so the third thing that we need to do before we hear the voice of God is we can hear God when we act in obedience. There's a protocol that's very common sense, and honestly, it is hard to argue with, that you're not supposed to act until you're told. But the thing with the Bible is, and the thing with the gospel and God's character is, so many times, no. We're given instruction based on our obedience. We're given instruction based on the faithfulness that we go ahead and display. And so what does that look like? What does it look like to act before you've been given instruction? Well, it's just to live out the life God has for you. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And act in it and take a step of obedience wherever that is that God's calling you. And then it makes it so that we can hear the voice of God. And then the story continues. If we jump back in 1 Samuel 3:10, says, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Speak, your servant is listening. What do we do when we hear the voice? What do we do when we hear God call? We respond. It's that simple, but just because it's simple, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's easy. But I also think one of the barriers to hearing God's voice, before we even get to the response, one of the barriers of what holds us back from hearing God is that if we're honest with ourselves, we don't want to. I think if we're honest, we shut ourselves off from hearing God because we don't want to hear what he has to say. Because we're afraid that it might be condemning. Afraid that God might come down on us harder than we want him to. Afraid that God is just ready to punish us for everything that we've done. But that perspective, that posture of fear in that way towards God, completely misunderstands his heart. That attitude of hiding because we don't want God to condemn us doesn't really know who God is. Because everything that could have possibly been communicated about the love of God, everything that could have possibly been shown to us about what God thinks and feels about us, was demonstrated on the cross. And look, here's the deal. I'm not speaking out of inexperience in this. There are still times when I'm like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't go to God yet because I got to get some stuff in order first. And I just kind of start to back up. When in reality, I can't get any of that stuff figured out until I go to God. And God's not waiting to come down. God's not waiting to punish. God's not waiting to condemn. God's waiting to love. God's ready to love you. God's ready always with open arms and forgiveness. Now, will God challenge you? Absolutely. Will God call you up and out of whatever you're dealing with? 100%. Because that's God's way of saying, hey, bud. And calling you to what he knows he designed you to be. Calling you to what he knows is better for you already. And so when we do all of that, when we get ready for a response in that way, when we draw near to him, when we remove distraction, when we act in obedience, all of a sudden the whole, hey, God, Alexa complex goes away and it becomes the relationship that it was designed to be. It becomes something that can grow and something that can help mature you, and something where there's light and love and peace in you. But it all comes out of a response. It all comes from understanding God's heart and God's character. And it all comes from what you do about the cross. Because the fact is, God sent Jesus down to die on a cross and be resurrected to forgive you, to forgive me of all our sin, of all our messed upness, and to mend the relationship. But that relationship mending is a two-way street. If it's truly a relationship, then we get a say in it too. And so we've got to choose. You've got to make the choice for yourself. Is my dad a pastor? Yes. Does my mom come up to the church almost every day? Absolutely. Is that what made me a Christian? No. Is that what made me follow Christ? No. It's a personal choice. It was something that's between me and God, and your decision is between you and God. And if you're sitting here and you're thinking, Joe, that's great, I haven't responded yet. I want to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, but I haven't yet. I don't yet know, because I haven't yet stepped over that line of faith. I haven't made that choice. But you want to? We're going to give you that opportunity. It's real simple. It doesn't take anything elaborate or complex. It's just you making a choice that's between you and God. And you can make it right now. Today can be your day. Today can be the first time you say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you today, you can just say something like this in a prayer silently between you and God. You can say, God, I know I've messed up. I know I haven't done it perfectly, but God, I know that you sent Jesus down to die on a cross and rise again so that I could be forgiven and so that this relationship could mend. And so God, right now I'm choosing to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, I follow you. God, right now I choose you. If that's you, and today was your day, today was the first time you said that prayer, then with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you and challenge you to mark this moment. Mark this moment so that when the doubt starts to come in, or when things start to become a cyclone, you can come back to this and know that you've made that choice. And you can just mark it by boldly and quietly sticking your hand up in the air, or raising your hand to say, I'm coming home. Raising your hand to say, I choose to follow you, Lord. And we've got a tradition around here where you put your hands down, we put our hands together. Say, welcome home. Welcome, welcome home.
begin. Memories you're making, your frame inside your heart. The middle of a nowhere is somewhere you can start. So go and write your song. The world will sing along. Show the way.